Akkan is the empire of, again, but it's the area that was the realm under the principal god Atad. And in slide 3B, if you hit refresh on your computer, all these slideshows will start again. And there is an order to these. So you might start at the beginning when looking at them. 3B is the beginning of this slideshow, and you'll see a map with the Empire of Agade. And on that map, you will see the Euphrates River down on the bottom and the Tigris River towards the top, with Babylon on the Tigris River. Those two rivers enter into the Persian Gulf. So we're talking about the land between the rivers, which is where Sumer started, and then being expanded under the Akkad Empire. And Sargon the Great was the first king who came along in this and started this empire. The next set of maps is about Haran, which is a junior city for Nanner, who is the brother of Adad. Okay? And that is mentioned in the biblical text about Abraham, I believe that is. Here on slide 10, you're looking at the Akkadian flood story. This is the Akkadian retelling of the flood of Noah, or Zoroastra, or depending on what civilization, what language. The next artifact, number 25, you'll see a cylinder seal is what it's called on top. That is a stone carved down into that cylinder, smooth, and then reverse carved a seam onto that as you roll it around, reverse carving this seam. It's not very big. And then you take that reversed carved negative seam on the rock, cylinder seal, and roll it on wet clay. And as you roll it on the wet clay, the positive image appears. And when you look at the positive image, you're looking at a scene that happened in history, in our history, at a time when the gods walked upon the earth. And this particular scene, only the important scenes do they go through all this work to preserve it for all time. And that cylinder seal can keep rolling on more clay, wet clay, and then they would fire it extremely hot so it's hard as rock. Now you can send this scene, this event, to all the city-states, if you wish, or wherever you wish. It's a printing press, what you have there. And, by the way, if there are is a text that's reverse carved in there, maybe it's a newspaper. I mean, when you think about this, you're looking at an unbelievable invention that man did not invent, nor did man carve this particular artifact, number 25. That artifact goes back about 4,100 plus years. That's a long time ago. Ancient man could not do this type of artwork in a negative carving on a little cylinder seal, which too was smoothed and carved from rock. anyway, this artifact, what it shows you, and you can see it's a very clear reverse carving. In my opinion, there's no doubt the gods did these, and they did them to record this for all time. And so it's an important scene. Well, let me tell you, the first guy you're looking at is Enlil, who is the Earth Colony commander. And in his hand is the plow. He brings the plow to the Garden of Eden and hands it to his son, Ninurta, later on, who takes over the responsibility of tilling the fields and seeding the field and, of course, the crops and so forth as they grow. So he's the farmer, the original one. And he is that because Enlil handed him the plow. The next god on this artifact has got things growing out of him, and that would be barley, for he is the barley god named Haya. Haya happens to be the father-in-law to Enlil. He's also the spouse to Nisaba, who is the fourth one on this artifact. Nisaba is the goddess of grain. So as the gods brought grain to Earth Colony, Nisaba is the one who would be in charge of that grain, and her spouse, Haya, of course, the barley and of the stores. So wherever the grain is stored and marketed, Haya is that man. Spouse Nisaba is one of the most important gods on Earth. She's the goddess of grain and a scribe. So the early records of the gods were kept by Nisaba. And then later, Nisaba taught the younger gods to become the scribes. And then those scribes taught eventually a giant mixed breed demigod. But that was not until much later that the earthling, the mixed breed, just the mixed breeds, could read and write any type of language. And the first language was cuneiform, the first written language. Okay, so seated is Nisaba. I got that wrong. Seated is Nisaba. Haya is her spouse, is in front of her. I don't know how I did that. She's sitting on her throne at some ziggurat. And in the back, the last one, is Ninlil, who is the spouse to Enlil and the daughter to Haya and Nisaba. So you've got the whole family of Nisaba and Haya, daughter and son-in-law. Son-in-law, Earth Colony commander. This is an important scene. And then at the very end of this thing, or at the very beginning of it, you see another entity. And that looks like that could be a mixed breed king. But this, again, is a very old artifact that lasted for thousands of years. So we could enjoy and understand, if we had the text that goes with this, what was happening in our ancient, ancient past. Now these things are coming to light, and on this website you will find out much more than you will at other websites pertaining to this topic. Okay, the next one, artifact, you're going to look at Enki. So the last one's got Enlil and his family and in-laws in the scene, And this artifact 26, you're looking at Inky in the middle and some experiments that he was trying to come up with a worker race by DNA mixing this animal with that animal. And none of it worked. So he ended up using Homo erectus, modifying Homo erectus in about 50,000 years it takes him, he and his sister and Herzog, to modify that Homo erectus into Homo sapien. Now, for the people who follow evolution, they know there's a missing link there between Neanderthal, Homo erectus, and Homo sapien. There's a million years of evolution missing. How could it just, man evolved just bingo overnight and go from being a caveman, hunter-gatherer, to living in the cities with sophistication that we have today in the cities? How could that be? If not for the gods. Artifact number 20 in this slideshow, I'll try to speed this up. You're looking at the construction of two launch and landing towers. Now, and in the middle, you're seeing symbols of rockets or trees, call it whichever, but those are launch and landing towers constructed by Utu, or at least directed the construction, and they are used under his authority only, for he is the spaceport commander. No launches, no landings without going through him. I guess you would call him the airport director. Okay. Next slide, again, are artifacts coming out of Akkad. As we go through them, some are hard to understand. Just study them, you'll see the giants from Akkad. More cylinder seals rolled in clay, producing more artifacts. As they discovered these cities, these archaeologists, they discovered thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of these artifacts in each city in some cases. And they would also find thousands upon thousands of texts in the cuneiform language. Now, most of these texts are about topics I'm not interested in, the astronomy, the astrology, the crops, how the crop on barley did this year and so forth, inventory counts and all, you know. I'm interested in the gods who came down, and I'm interested in the demigods that became into existence because the gods who came down had sex with the daughters of man and had children, and those children were semi-giants, semi-god, mixed breeds who became the first kings. That first king would be a middleman between the god and the earthling, keeping a clean separation. And the god lives high up in the sky in his ziggurat. Earthlings aren't going up to see the god in that ziggurat, but the king is. Also, the mixed breed, given a position of authority over the earthlings. Another one is the high priest. And the high priest basically lives in that ziggurat with the god. He is the butler to that god, taking care of whatever his needs are, meals, clean clothes, whatever's going on that giant alien god needs. A descendant of the gods, a mixed breed, is taking care of him as the high priest. And then that high priest would pass on to the earthling as a middleman customs to be created, the ceremonies and so forth pertaining to the god who lives there. So he's covering the homage and so forth paid to the god. The king is covering the rules and laws of the god, all passed on to the earthlings. And don't double cross the king. The king better not double cross the god. Big trouble. So more artifacts are here, and this is just a small sampling. When you put your cursor on it, a description will pop up. If that description is in the way of you viewing that artifact, put your cursor on the one opposite, and it'll pop up on it. When you do this, put the cursor on an artifact, the slideshow will stop, so you can look closely at these artifacts that are presented in the slideshow. Here, I'm just giving you a sample of some of the artifacts that came from Akkad. Here is number 15, is Enki again. 15A, symbol of Marduk. So many different gods' artifacts are found in Akkad. Okay? That's because there's a family, royal family, of these giants who came down and colonized the earth. Okay, under this slideshow are texts pertaining to that area of Adads and some quotes. And in these texts, I put a must read in green and then a star system, one star, two stars, or three stars. The three stars is the most important to read. Down to one star. One star has information in it. Two stars has a little more information. And three stars is too important to not read. And very, very rarely, three times I will put a must read three stars, a must read three stars, a must read three stars. That's meaning, for God's sakes, please read that text. It's one of the very most important ones on the entire website. Excuse me. As far as information. So, if you come to the website to look at things you have never seen before, and if you'd like to have a peek at who the kings were back way back when, and who the kings were before the flood, that list of kings is right there. The triple I must read, three stars. Here's a quick quote from Genesis in the Torah, or the Old Testament. The Nephilim, we'll talk about that in a minute, we're on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons, plural, of God went to the daughters of men, had sex with them, they did, and then had children by them. These children were the heroes of old, the men of renown. Well, what we're talking about here is a mixed breed between God and man. So they come up with a demigod, a whole new race of being. That doesn't make Enlil very happy, by the way, but that's when there's no women for all these workers. And there's a few women who come from who are descendants of the king back on their planet, and therefore usually taken. So for all those workers, and there are about 300 in South Africa mining for the gold and so forth, and there are about 300 in the Garden of Eden setting up all the needs that you need to sustain a colony. Canals, irrigation to the fields, and so forth and so on. Housing, all everything is set up there by the gods in that area called Sumer. Now, these gods needed workers. Inki modifies Homo erectus into Homo sapien. Homo sapien has women, children, female daughters, and the gods who have no women, the common gods who have no women, come down and start having sex with these daughters of men. Well, the main gods do also. And when the main gods have an offspring, then you're talking about children that were the heroes of old and the men of renown, meaning the very first kings, the go-between between God and earthlings. Okay? And another one would be the high priest. And if you had a third, it may be a king of another city-state. But they all had positions of power if they were loved by the gods. If they were not, they didn't last long. Okay, so the first king of Akkad is Sargon the Great. And he establishes a dynasty under him. He establishes Akkad and the Akkadian Empire. And from that, his descendants carry on kingship there. So here's a slideshow of what Sargon looked like. You're talking about thousands of years. Here he's reigning, according to this particular list, around 2300 BC. And you're looking at a beautiful head manufactured in metal somehow way back then. And well done, too. Very difficult for ancient man to do. Very difficult for man to go from the cave to a sophisticated city living together. Now, so the first one on Sargon, hit refresh if you wish to restart it, is the Empire of Sargon. It shows you, and it's quite large. That's why he's the great. That consists of all the Sumer plus plus. That's a large empire. And the next slide adjacent to it is 1C, where you're looking at Sargon's family tree. Basically all the kings. And here come the artifacts of Sargon. And I told you about the carved cylinder seal that rolled on clay. Beautiful scenes, all so important that they were preserved for our history. And, of course, for the recent history to this event and the long-time history to this event, which we are now becoming aware of. Now, if you look at the artifact 2J, you'll see sometimes the scenes are carved into rock. Sometimes the scenes are carved into the cliff of a mountain. sometimes it's carved into jewelry or some, you know, a weapon or something. These carvings of the gods, these artifacts, come in many sizes, shapes, and styles. One is simply a printing press, the other is a one-time carving into a rock. These are important, or all this effort would not have been done by the gods, and then later by ancient man who has been taught how to do these. A nice artifact to look at would be 2K. Here you're seeing a stela of slaves, captives from a disloyal area, now captive to the king who is in control of that area. And you can see how they're treated. Okay? It was pretty brutal, very brutal. And that's Sargon. Next comes a text concerning Sargon. And again, we're going to do the 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, or no star. The 1-star has information, 2-star a little more information, 3-star you just gotta read, in my opinion. I, by the way, have read all of these dozens, some of them dozens, some of them at least a dozen. Okay, Sargon and Nur-Zababa, that's an interesting text. But the legend of Sargon, it has more information. That blows your mind, that stretches the brain. Okay, the next slideshow is the daughter of Sargon, Enhi Duanna. And there's just a few artifacts of her, but what's important about her is she's a scribe, and she writes praises of Inanna. She's always working with Inanna because she's probably the daughter of Inanna and Sargon the Great. And when you read the text about Sargon, you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, Inanna, of course, espoused all the major kings. That's why she's the goddess of love. And throughout history, as time went by, it was one king, major king, after another, after another. So she's mating with demigods all the time. She also has sex with the gods. She probably also has sex with earthling prostitutes and so forth. Inanna was big on sex. When you go to see her page, you will see what I'm talking about. Anyway, Enhi Duanna is an important figure to Inanna. And I think the daughter. There's an interesting artifact, number 6 or number 5, it's the same artifact, and you're looking at Enhi Duanna and others unidentified. It's rare to have an image of her, and so I give you what I can find. And it's rare to find anything. Next comes the text. Nenmi Sera, she wrote that. And then she writes hymns to Inanna. These, you know, you might read the hymns to Inanna or Nenmi Sera. And you'll see how dedicated she is to Inanna. The next king is Remish. And he's not around long, and there's so few artifacts of him. I've got 2, and neither one of them give you an image of the king. It's just a text, a short text. And here we have nothing but a quote a quote, so very little to nothing on Remish, who is not, he's insignificant, but he's in the bloodline of Sargon the Great, and therefore was a king. Manish Tushu, again, another one, and you'll see some primitive artifacts at hand, and again, you're not getting much of an image. There is a Manish Tushu obelisk, and with text, four sides on that obelisk, so you know there is information there somewhere on Manish Tushu, but I do not have the translation of that obelisk. Someday maybe somebody will show me that. Next is Naram Sin. Naram Sin is probably the most important other than Sargon. And you can see the time frame that he is comes around. And one of the artifacts, if you hit refresh, let's start and refresh this slideshow. Start at the beginning. You're seeing just a cropped image of Naram Sin. Something, though, strange here. He's got a horn-rimmed hat, helmet. Normally, the gods won't let that happen because the horn-rimmed crowns belong to the royal family of the gods, not the kings. So, as we go through the slideshow, you'll see Naram Sin in a different hat or helmet. These are warrior gods. So, long beards. Always the long beards because they copy the gods. We copy the gods. Today, there are religious sects that wear the long beards in respect of copying the gods. The closer you get to God, the better. The more you look like God because it is your image that they stamped upon us, their image upon us. And when you look at it, we look very similar, except in size, and of course in knowledge, and in term of years, long life. So as we go down these artifacts, you come across artifact 6D, and here's this giant standing on an earthling that it is either dead or losing the battle. The battle has been won. It's a victory stela of Naram Sin. Now, Naram Sin, again, with that horn-rimmed hat, that's where that one was cropped from, is this artifact. And if you put your cursor over on 6E, and let's look at 6D. You'll see this giant is standing in front of this object that looks like a cone. That cone is called a shim. And what it represents is the command module of a three-stage rocket. Or the top of that rocket is the command module. And that command module shakes off its two lower parts that power it through two space and two space. And the shim carries on as if it were an airplane flying here on Earth, landing in the mountains and guaranteeing Naram Sin's success in battle. When the gods are there flying above you or right with you in battle, that king is not only going to win, but he's going to be unharmed. And the other side's going to lose horribly. And that's what happens for all of these semi-divines. if they are loyal and have the brains they should have, being a descendant in the bloodline of the gods, they should be protected and have a good life. So these artifacts are important because they are scenes. If you look at Artifact Success, this isn't a cylinder seal. This is a rock carving, probably the side of a cliff. You see? And over here is a rock clock carving at 6G. But again, these are warrior kings. Okay, and then some other artifacts that just aren't as exciting. One text, The Cursing of a Gate, it involves Inanna, I believe, but it's a one star, and it's a must read. The next king, Little to Nothing, just a couple artifacts showing you primitive man. Naked. And of course, animals. Man and animals. Okay, then the last king of Akkad is Ibi-Sin, who comes through the line of kings through Ur. And Shushin is Ibi-Sin's father out of Ur. And Shushin, by the way, was espoused to Inanna. And they had a child, which we know today as Cupid, a god of love. Inanna, of course, the goddess of love, espousing all these kings, these semi-divine mixed breeds appointed to kingship, authority over the earthlings, acting as a go-between, the gods and the earthlings. So here comes the Ibi-Sin texts. I have no slideshow to show you on Ibi-Sin. So we'll go through some of the texts. Many texts were found in Ur. And as you see, there's really nothing in green. Nothing that's giving you much information. That's Ibi-Sin ends up being a failed king. So nothing really interesting here. I wish to let you know that as we do this, go through these city states or realms of areas of responsibility of certain gods, and you can see that each god has his own authorities or realm of responsibility, but they all work under the Earth Colony Commander Enlil, who happens to be the King of Nibiru, their planet, One World Order. The King Nibiru, his son and heir, is Enlil. That's how important Earth Colony is, that the King and the God the Father in heaven on planet Nibiru sends his sons and daughters down to Earth Colony, but he sends even his heir, the most important in the family bloodline. And he is in charge of Earth Colony. That gold that they came for is so important that you've got some of the most important giant alien gods from their planet right here. And of those giant alien gods, the most brilliant is Enki. And Enki and Ninhursag with Ningazina are the ones totally responsible for fashioning Homo sapien out of Homo erectus. And today we are Homo sapien sapien. And we're holding DNA that is not found anywhere on Earth. It is from the original setup using their DNA, mixing with Homo erectus's DNA. Therefore, Earthlings have some DNA that cannot be explained. And we have DNA that makes us unique over all the other creatures on Earth. It says so in the Torah, in the Old Testament. God gave us this, God gave us that. It says in these ancient texts that the God gave us this, and that God gave us that, and this one happened, and that one happened, and eventually we learn war from these gods, and we're killing each other. All of that is going on still. But if you want to know where war and all of that nasty, as well as survival, and all of that extremely important, it all comes from the gods who came down and colonized the earth. Well, I want to thank you for coming to my website. I appreciate you taking a look at a cat. I hope this little recording has helped you in some regard. But I suggest you go to a dad's page, and you'll see an awful lot more when it comes to artifacts than when I'm providing for you here. Just a sampling. And some of this stuff is hard to find. So keep in mind what I'm trying to show you here, that there are actually three races of humans on Earth at the same time. There are the giant aliens who came down. There are the mixed breeds, the demigods, who were just created by having sex with the daughters of men. And then there's men and their daughters. Three different races. The Earthling being 5, at most 6 feet, maybe even 4 feet. The demigod is somewhere between 8 and 10 feet. And the gods are like 14, 16 feet. Now, when you take the size of the gods and compare it to an Earthling, they step on you and kill you, literally. And there are artifacts to that effect. So when they say the word God, it all began in Mesopotamia, where everything else began, including Homo sapien. Well, again, thank you very much for coming. I hope you come back and look at some other pages and read some more texts. There's a lot of information here, and when you're done, you'll see how important this website really is. Thanks again.